The following presentation was recorded at the Buddhist Society of Victoria, Malvern East, Australia. Please visit our website at bsv.net.au.
Is it anybody? It's their first time here tonight? Yeah, your first time? Nice. Have you done any meditation before? Or? On and off? Okay, so you know the basics. Yeah, okay, nice. Yeah, as Langdon said, we'll sit for a while. Sit for about 50 minutes kind of thing, and then you can ask some questions after if you like. Just as a general kind of caveat, if you already have a practice yourself that you prefer doing, a particular kind of meditation object that you prefer, more than welcome to use that. You don't have to listen to me at all. You can tune me out if you like. It's fine. But I will be offering just some gentle guidance, a little bit of reflections towards the end. So feel free to practice those or not. It's totally fine either way. So with that, we might get started. Start to settle down into our seats. Find a comfortable position. And allow your body just to relax and sink in to its seat. Just like you'd settle into your favorite chair at the end of the day. Just fully relaxed and at ease. We can also take a few long, deep breaths. Just to calm our nervous system down. We can notice any sounds that are around us, sounds in the room, sounds from outside, the sound of my voice, sound of other people. Just notice what you hear right now in this moment. How it seems to drift in and drift away. Sounds simply come on their own accord. And disappear on their own accord. You don't control what you hear. Can't do anything about them. Just simply let them wash through you. Now just start to settle on your regular method of meditation. Maybe the breath or watching sensations. And just like you were sitting in the middle of a forest by yourself at night with no one around and everything silent around you, with nothing but you and your breath. If you can let the world drop away and just remain with your meditation object in this silence. if you notice yourself drifting away, becoming lethargic, to see if you can straighten up your posture a little bit. Enliven your posture. Take a few deep breaths. And re-establish your mindfulness on your object. Every breath is an opportunity to start again anew. Start again with more sharpness, more clarity. See if you can reestablish your attention on your meditation object. Start to tune out everything that's happening outside of it. Simply be with the breath. Sitting still, just watching it in one place. And as you sit in this space of stillness, be aware for any random thoughts that might drift in, drift away. While you keep your mindfulness focused on the breath. Just like you'd sit on the bank of a river. Watch the stream float by, and any sticks or leaves or foam would drift along with the current. Just drift past your visual field. See if you can notice the thoughts that float in and float out. See if you can remain outside them, though. Again, just like you're sitting on the bank, watching the stream float past. But if you were to wander down and get into the stream, it'd pull you away. Observing thought is like this. If we step back, keep our awareness on one place like the breath, we can be very aware when thoughts drift past. But if we're stuck in thoughts, we become engulfed in them and they drag us away as well. See if you can sit back for a few minutes and just notice any thoughts that float by like a stream. pay close attention to what these thoughts are like. They appear as language. They're in your own voice or somebody else's voice. Or are they visual scenes? And are those scenes clear or coloured? Or do they arise as intuitions without any real language or image behind them? Try to take careful note of what your thoughts are actually like. We spend all day with our thoughts, but rarely do we really pay attention to them and notice what they're like. Are they singular, with gaps between them? Or are they seamlessly joined together and change in a complex web? And where do they feel like they're located? Behind your eyes, inside your ears, in your chest, in your head. Where does it feel like these thoughts are coming from? And where do they go? What happens to them when you notice them from this detached manner? Do they grow and increase? Or do they unravel and disappear? And finally, look for the thinker of thoughts.
Thank you, Ajahn, for the guided meditation. Do we have any questions on the floor?
Thank you, Ajahn, for the session. That was really good.
No problem.
I do have a question about one of the things that you have mentioned. But apologies if I don't explain that correctly, because I'm trying it difficult to explain what I felt.
Yep.
One of the things that you have mentioned is about watching the thoughts and then see whether it's a vision, whether it's a voice.
Yep.
For me, it feels like observing or watching the thought is another thought.
Yep.
So you can't really do them simultaneously. So I'm trying to get a little bit of clarification on that. For me, it feels like it's another thought.
Yep.
So you can't really watch the thought without really thinking about it.
Yeah.
If you get what I mean.
Yeah. No, I totally understand. It's a really good question. It's a really good observation as well.
Thank you.
It's so this is what did I do? I have trouble remembering what I've said sometimes when I'm meditating, because I usually just do the thing, I say the thing that I'm doing, so I forget what I say most of the time. So with this feeling of potentially watching a thought, you know, sometimes there can be an extra kind of narrative there of, oh, that's a thought of, okay, my voice, you know, the inner voice that I have, it sort of sounds like me. And so, yeah, that is that kind of perpetual thought on another thought kind of thing. Now, while that can happen if your mind isn't still, so there's a very different kind of experience if your mind is still and you're sort of watching something drift by, as opposed to thinking about the thing that drifts by. It is a little bit hard to wrap your head around until it sort of happens. There's that analogy there of, you know, you're watching a stream go by, and so you're watching the twigs and the leaves and the sticks and all these kinds of things, and you're just simply watching this thing go by. Whereas if you're caught up in the stream, you're being pulled along by the stream as well. And so it's the same with thoughts. If you're just sort of thinking about thinking, then you are just going to be labeling your own experience. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's actually a quite a good exercise of understanding a little bit more about what your inner life is actually like. But there is this space that you can get to if your concentration gets good and your mind does become still, where things will just sort of drift in and drift out of it, but you can remain in this place of stillness and just observe this thing happening, as opposed to being a part of it and being the narrator of it. So yeah, I understand it is a little bit hard to sort of wrap your head around, because it does, at the start, it can just feel like watching another thought, and a thought leads onto another thought, and you're simply just watching this thing in this kind of perpetual dog chasing its tail kind of cycle. But it actually can get to the point where you do sort of step back and observe this thing drifting past. Do you want to add something?
Yeah. So I can observe once the thought has gone.
Yeah.
But while it's happening, it feels like it's an endless loop.
Yeah.
That's where I'm coming from.
Yeah, yeah. And that's, you know, take some encouragement from that. That's good. Because, you know, you're at least noticing that the thing is gone. You know, before it's like you're pulled along by it. You're in this perpetual cycle of just being dragged along by a thought. Now at least you can sort of get a bit of distance and go, okay, it's gone now. It's sort of gone now. Okay, maybe it was sort of like that. That's actually a good step in the right direction. You can get to the point. So, and what's happening there is you've developed some mindfulness, and the mindfulness is reasonably strong, but it's not really strong at that point. When it gets really strong, you can see that thing in like real time come up
and you can notice what it's like, and you just see it and let it drop away. Sort of like if you like see something on television, you know, you see it and you register the thing and it just, it's there and it goes. You don't really have to go, well, I'm looking at a duck on television. And just kind of, no, just see the duck. And so it can get to this point when your mindfulness is quite strong that you do just see this thing arise there. But it does take a little bit of time to, and a little bit of practice to get to that. But it's definitely something that you can do. And once you do get it, it's like, oh, okay, that's what he was talking about. So, but until that time, a lot of the time we just lost in this perpetual cycle of our thoughts, this kind of like feedback loop of our thoughts. And so, yeah, it can be sort of difficult, but with practice, you can get to that point. So yeah, just keep doing what you're doing. It takes time. Everybody gets stuck in that perpetual, like I still get stuck in that like feedback loop a lot of the time. So I spend most of my day in the feedback loop. So like, don't worry about it too much.
Thank you.
Do we have any other question in the hall? Not this. A question from the yesterday's Dharma talk.
Okay, I didn't listen to the talk, so I'm going to have troubles answering it. So unless it's a very general question.
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay.
I understand that a spiritual teacher has four qualities.
Mm.
Virtue, generosity, wisdom, and faith.
Yep.
I think the practice of meditation fits into the quality of faith.
Mm.
And the practice of hearing and discussing Dharma fitting in wisdom.
Mm.
Is that correct?
Yeah. I'd say it's true or it's right in most respects, but it's also not an imperative that just because you listen to Dharma that you'll be wise, or you do some meditation and you'll gain some more faith. What I think is with the qualities of a teacher, they've probably done a lot of those things over time, and they've developed it to a much more fuller capacity, and they can embody that much more. And, you know, those qualities are probably developed through doing those things, doing meditation and listening to teachings. But it's not like it's not a kind of, automatic thing just because you've listened a bit to a bit of things, or just because you've done a little bit of meditation, that you're somewhat qualified to be a teacher in some way. You're definitely looking for those qualities in a teacher, but also just remembering teachers aren't perfect either. No teachers are perfect. Every teacher is going to have a limitation. Every teacher is going to have a lot of insight into one area, maybe not a lot of insight into another area. They have a lot of good qualities. They have a lot of very mundane qualities as well. If we find a teacher that we resonate with at some point, this is enough. And if they're a little bit wiser than you in some way, they have a little bit more experience than you in some way, and they can teach you in some way, then this is a good thing. We should try to listen to these people, but it's not like, well, I'm not going to listen to anybody until I find somebody with like faith, wisdom, and samadhi and all those kinds of qualities. It's like, because, they're hard people to find. A perfect person is very hard to find. Every 13-year-old kid that's out looking for love knows that it's really hard to find the perfect person. So it's even harder when you're looking for somebody that has these like great Dharma qualities. There's even less of those. So while it's good to have those qualities in a teacher, we shouldn't always be going, well, they don't have that thing, so I won't listen to them. You know, a lot of times people can teach you things even though they're not perfect people. But yeah, obviously you try to towards those qualities. So yeah, so hopefully I didn't, you know, catapult Chikwang's like teachings and just totally like derail whatever she said yesterday. Okay, good.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. Thank you, Arjun.
Any
more question? Quite contained.
Yeah. Okay. There's maybe one more online, and if there's no more, we can
no,
call it.
No, we don't
a
have
night.
Any online question no, for today.
No problem. If that's the case, we can call it a night, and you can all have a little bit of an early mark. Sitting in place for a long time, so yeah. So we'll call it a night for now. So hey, all the best, everybody. Yeah, and Langdon's made all the announcements, so I don't have to say anything more. So okay, all the best, everyone. Hopefully see you on Friday night, maybe. All the best. Be there? Nice.